All right, here we go. It is First Up. We are live in studio for the first time in a long time. I'm Aaron Karolnick. That is Carlo Kuliakovo. Rod is back. Chrissy, the mainstay, is here. The fellas are in the building, and we are feeling good. What's up, Coco?
5 in the morning, buddy.
Really?
Just having a morning. I enjoyed listening to Justin Bieber coming on the music because he's putting me in a better mood, but...
What's the problem? What's going on?
Just weird. You feel off this morning. You know, you're changing your schedule a little bit. You get up, you drive in, and you got to clean up after everybody coming into the studio.
Listen, Frankie Corrado is a pig. Everybody knows that. I'm sure he's listening right now. He doesn't miss an hour, a second of First Up. I don't know who was in here. I don't know who was in here last night. Or the night before. Maybe it was Al's brother hosting Overdrive. Not really sure, but...
He did a great job.
He was unbelievable. Saved the suit and the tie. Terrible look there, but the broadcasting was exceptional. I would say when you come in and there's papers and garbage all over, there's random TVs on right in front of you, it's tough start to the morning. Yeah, but
it is.
We're going to persevere. I guarantee you that the start to my morning was much worse than yours, though. Not only is my car broken again... Talk about reasons why we weren't in studio last week. That would be number one. Number two is last night I went to go buy some groceries, roll into my local Loblaws, buy a couple of jars of tomato sauce.
Okay. Oh, my God. Don't tell me what happened.
So.
I have a feeling I know what happened.
I have like a knapsack that I care. I walk over to my local Loblaws and I buy two jars of this, whatever, President's Choice, portobello mushroom, whatever.
So you're a portobello mushroom sauce guy?
Yeah.
Because I do the same thing. Unless I get the jars from my parents that are homemade. Like, when I want to make a quick pasta at home, I go
in. Yeah, something simple.
Here's my go-to. Four cheese, pasta, or vodka sauce?
Yeah, I mean, listen, I don't discriminate. I'm into all of them. But this is not the premise of the story. So, I forgot to unpack the groceries last night. I got home, was watching the Leaf game, watching the Raptors game, Monday Night Football. And I'm like, oh, yeah, you know what? I should just quickly, before I leave this morning, put the stuff away. And I reach into the bag... And take my hand out. And
it's broken.
Covered in sauce.
The jar broke.
One of the jars broke.
I knew it.
The bottom of my knapsack is completely engorged with tomato sauce. All my groceries are covered. And I'm sitting there. I'm like, all right, do I just throw this bag out?
Oh, yeah.
Is the bag?
No, you can.
I think I can salvage it. It's a good bag. It's a good bag.
It's covered in pasta sauce that's been fermenting all night.
No, it's been, what's the word I'm looking for here? What do you do with meat overnight?
Saturate.
No, not saturate. Marinate.
Yes.
These guys weren't helping out, that's for sure. It was marinating. It was marinating in the bag.
No, I'm telling you right now. I tell you right now, that bag is garbage.
I think the bag is garbage,
too. Everything in there, I don't know what you bought. It's garbage. So hold on a second. How did you forget to put your groceries away? Okay, I can understand if you just bought two jars of pasta sauce.
Nah, there wasn't like anything else too. It was a couple of apples, a banana, nothing frozen.
The apple needs to go in the fridge, does it not?
Yeah, I could, but it's not
how
like
did
a necessity.
You forget it in your bag, though.
I don't know. I was really excited to get home. Like, all right, baby, how the Raptors going to lock down Donovan Mitchell? How many points is Mitch Marner going to score tonight?
Well, you did have a double-double prop on Pascal Siakam.
It's true. Pascal Siakam, shout out to him. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. I just forgot. But in any case, when I get home later this afternoon, it's going to be quite the dilemma.
So you left it? You've left a cracked open jar of pasta sauce in your school bag or whatever bag you have, still in your apartment. You know how bad your apartment's going to smell?
No, I kind of emptied out the contents and I put it in the bathtub. So,
okay.
And I ran some water, you know, got it loose. But I'm very fortunate to reach my hand in and I just get cut, right? Because
there's
a jar and then it's just like.
Then you're like on the
I'm like Aaron Rodgers, like looking at
you're
my
calling
hands.
Me and you're like, hey, yeah, it's not happening.
Yeah, I'm not coming in. But I am here and we are here and we're feeling
That's
good
brutes,
in spite
man.
Of a tough start to the morning for both of
so
us.
So what were you going to do with those jars? Like, were you going to make like a chili?
I was indeed.
Oh.
I was indeed. And Aaron's famous chili is, you know, highly regarded worldwide. It's amongst the top cuisines. And there's some jalapenos, some lean ground beef.
You put jalapenos in your food?
Oh, spice it up.
Oh, man.
I just make one of the meanest chilies. And I'm not sure if I'm going to make it today because I'm not sure I'm going to have time to get back to the grocery store and find myself another jar. But when I do, I will be sure to bring some in for you.
I can't wait.
And I think you're going to love it. It won't be as good as the free soup I'm getting after the show, but it'll be close.
Today's Tuesday. Do they have soup?
Oh, they have soup. It's soup? Okay, they have soup.
I'm pumped. Yeah, no.
Yeah, soup, it's going to be a good time. Our boss, Stephanie Appolito, joining us for soup as well. It's going to be
a great time. 10 o'clock is when our show is done. Guess what else, what else starts at 10 o'clock?
Well, a doubleheader. A doubleheader of World Cup action. And we have Stephen Goff joining us from the Washington Post live from Qatar in about 25 minutes. We'll talk about what we can look forward to today in the World Cup, where there's four games. And one set of two games is at 10 a.m. Yeah. And the other set of two games is at 2 p.m.
They're division games, right? So it's the last. They're the last games of the divisions, and they play them at the same time so that there's no...
no shenanigans.
Yeah, no shenanigans going on where a team's paying attention to the scoreboard and not winning for another team. There's basically no F in Croatia going on that Canada could potentially do.
Yeah, well, I'm looking forward to Iran, and I'm making sure to pronounce that properly. I don't know if you saw the press conference
yesterday. Why do people make such a big deal about how Iran is pronounced?
Well, I mean, if you called it Kanata, I'm sure you'd be like, sorry, what?
That's Iran, not how to say it. Iran, like, does it not...
It's close. I mean, it's not... Well, it does, sure, but so does Canada and Canada. So I'm sure if you were from Iran, like Arad is, for instance, and you heard you call it Iran, you'd be like, what are you doing? That's not how you say the name of the country.
Do people from Iran take offense to the way people say Iran or Iran? Because I was hearing that the other day, and I'm like...
Well, the reporter asking the American captain, that's what happened yesterday. That was the kind of at least the start of his diatribe against the American team.
So I didn't hear that. So what happened?
So we'll talk to about Stephen Goff. Honestly, I'm not really sure I could adequately explain it.
What happened? And what, like, do you take offense to that?
I don't take offense, but like, I don't know. It is kind of weird. Like, Iran, like, where did you run to? You know what I mean? It's not the name of the country. It's like, you know, how would you feel if somebody said Italy instead of Italy?
I wouldn't care.
Well, you just want to get a... If you're, you know, okay, you're there, just say the name of the country
proper. What is the proper pronunciation
of Iran?
It's Iran.
Oh, Iran.
Iran. See, Iran.
Well, at least I didn't say Iran. Like, that's what that American player was saying.
Yeah, but when it comes to the reporter, I mean, that guy... Look, Iran doesn't have a free press, right? Every single outlet that's there, it's government control. It's full on... You okay, know, but like, dictatorship propaganda.
Do we have that clip, Chrissy? Do we have that clip ready for... No,
but,
I don't have it.
But here's the thing. I mean... When you're reading it, it's a four-letter word. It's I-R-A-N, and any normal person that would see that without actually hearing it would say, Iran. But the way you're saying
and
it,
Iran.
Iran, there's no E to start it. and there's no, like, Iran would be E-R-O-N. Would it not?
I don't know, man. It's a stupid conversation because regardless of what you're talking about, this is how the country is pronounced.
I get it, but what I'm saying is
there's a lot of words that are written one way and sound another.
If we didn't have a guy who's from Iran...
how do I say this?
Would give us the proper explanation for it. If we looked at it, we would say Iran.
Correct.
And yeah, Carlo's right. Like, most people don't really care how it's pronounced, number one. And, like, the pronunciation wasn't the biggest part of that whole conversation, right? It was, you know, Iranian... government media trying to bait poor Tyler Adams into saying something he shouldn't say.
Something so that they could use his poster or
again, Stephen Goff's going to join us at 6:30. He's much more conversant on this whole thing, and he's there in Qatar, was probably at that press conference that we're talking about where, yeah, as Arad mentioned, Iran, this is challenging today already, that there was some kind of LGBTQ situation with the U.S. team where they changed some social media stuff in solidarity with the Iranian women and this. And I don't, it's a very convoluted situation. But again, at 6:30, Stephen Goff will join us.
Did you see that protester that ran onto the field in the middle of the Portugal game or the Brazil game? One of the games, basically protesting everything you just said. Like, talk about a bad place to be protesting.
No kidding. Well, and then there's all these stories about...
If you get arrested in Qatar, like...
Well, yeah, it's not good. You don't want to mess around
with everything that's going on there. Like, I understand what you're trying to bring attention to, but, like, jail time over there?
And jail time, if you're lucky. Jeez. If you're lucky. So, we'll get to that with Goff in 20 minutes. Not Jared Goff. Stephen Goff.
Jerry
Soccer
Goff?
Insider. Stephen Goff. But on the other side, we'll talk about the Toronto parlay that hit last night. The Toronto Maple Leafs win again.
It's a good time to be a Toronto sports
fan. No kidding. The Leafs beat the Red Wings in a game that I thought for sure was a schedule loss, and it looked like it was going to be early on. And the Toronto Raptors hold Donovan Mitchell to less than 10 points for the first time in more than 2 years. That is a defensive ball club. Both the Raptors and the Leafs. We'll get to those stories and much more as the
Tuesday advice from our boy Matt Cos, by the way.
Oh, Matt Cos is up early. Maybe he's training for his marathon. That could be the reason.
Wow.
Shout out to Matthew Cos.
Running in this weather?
I mean, he's doing it inside. I don't know. He's a busy man. Busy man. Anyways, Tuesday morning edition of First Up. We'll talk some Leafs. We'll talk some Raps next. So it was the Toronto Maple Leafs in Detroit last night. You heard it on TSN 1050. A game. Oh, yeah, that Tage Thompson goal last night was absolutely filthy. We'll get to that game.
I didn't mean to distract you, but we're TVs all around us, and they're playing the same highlight of Tage Thompson just absolutely undressing.
I watched that game
live. Ryan Elliott yesterday.
That was part of our Dump and Shea segment. Tampa and
3-1.
3-1 for the boys. That's right. We got it done. And Tage Thompson, just an outstanding hockey player. That game was wild in the third period. But with regards to the Maple Leafs, we can get to Tampa, Buffalo a little bit later. I mean, you think about it, the third game in four nights, the fourth game in six nights, they're on the road, closing a road trip, all the recipes for a schedule loss, right? Yeah. And you live that life for a long time. I don't think anyone would have faulted the Leafs if they're like, go down 1-0, Detroit scores early, we could just pack it in, we'll look ahead to Wednesday against San Jose back at home. But that's not how they roll these days.
Yeah.
They quickly responded. Auston Matthews, a patented snipe, a very rare snipe. A lot of his goals this year have been deflections or tap-ins, but he came up, received that pass, and just ripped it past
vintage Matthews.
Billy Huso. It absolutely was vintage Auston Matthews. William Nylander follows it up shortly thereafter, I think 50 seconds later, with a goal of his own. And all of a sudden, the Leafs are up 2-1. You're like, wow, I can't believe these guys are doing it once again. Of course, they win 4-2 in the end. Mitch Marner scores as well. 17-game point streak, just one off the Maple Leafs record. And once again, Coco, I would say for the last couple of weeks, there's been two constants, Mitch Marner and Matt Murray, and both of whom were at the top of their game once again last night.
Yeah, there's no arguing that. Mitch Marner has only played one game this year without registering a point.
That's wild.
Think about how incredible that is when they've played, their 25th game of the season yesterday? Like, that's absolutely, incredible the way he started and the way he's leading. And, that was their 24th game of the season. But another stat is, I believe when Matthews, Marner, and Nylander score in the same game, I believe they're 14-0-1.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me. I would expect them to never lose three separate guys.
The one thing you've got to be really encouraged of is the fact that, look, the adversity that they're dealing with because of the injuries on defense, their best players are stepping up and being their best players, which includes Matt Murray, who's played tremendous since coming back off of his injury and looks like really, really solid and really comfortable in net. But 51 seconds. 51 seconds of that game yesterday is all it took for the Maple Leafs to take over that game. Considering they got outshot 5-0 in the first 5 minutes of the game, and the reason why that's so significant, because we were on the Leafs first five on FanDuel, which was crazy. They had four shots on one play. But they give up the early goal, and in 51 seconds, they turn the game around into their favor. Matthews gets it on the board. They get a power play, and power play scores their first goal in 10 chances. And Rasmus Sandin had a hell of a game. Which
man, I like to see him on the power play. He's fun to watch. He's a guy who can move that puck quickly and get pucks on net.
But you know why? Because he's a threat to shoot.
Yeah, that's it.
Like, no offense to Morgan Rielly or anything. Morgan Rielly, he does his thing. He agrees a great puck mover and stuff. But on the power play, he doesn't shoot the puck enough. And you see what happens when you shoot the puck. I'll be honest with you. Unless you have a one-timer slap shot teed up and ready to go, how many times is a defenseman going to score from the back end? Which is why it's almost better to have those seeing eye shots that just get to the net, because you can create a deflection or create a rebound, which is what Nylander did. So in 51 seconds, the Maple Leafs turned the game into their favor, took the 2-1 lead going into the intermission, and this team, since Morgan Rielly has left, they're 4-0 right now, all road games, and they've led in the first period in all four games. So when you're leading in the first period in all four of those games, what does that do to them, your mentality? It just makes you play with a newfound confidence, and that's what they're playing with right now.
And it's odd because you think about their personnel without Rielly, without Brody, without Muzzin, it would generally go against the prevailing notion that you'd be able to play well defensively in spite of losing your best players. That's pretty obvious. Your best defenseman being in the lineup correlates to quality defensive play, but it's almost like they're playing better. They're more responsible. It's just everyone's bought into a mentality, and that's let it. That's like the way they played last night. I think Matt Murray had, I don't know, 42 saves, something like that.
42 saves.
42 saves. 42 saves. But I don't think there were a lot of high danger opportunities for Detroit. So Detroit's getting shots on goal. They're getting pucks on net. But I don't think these are these incredibly difficult stops for Murray to make.
Yeah.
And that's a good sign for the Toronto Maple Leafs, because if you're not giving up these high danger chances, you put it in the hands of your goaltender to make the saves he should make. And Matt Murray's made every save he should make seemingly since he's returned. So yeah. I thought it was a really impressive performance.
Well,
once again.
Another stat that stands out yesterday, and you talked about saves and quality scoring chances, block shots. Like, you talk about the investment this team has made defensively to put themselves in positions to win game with the absence of Rielly, TJ Brody, and Jake Muzzin. 23 block shots yesterday versus 5 for the Detroit Red Wings. That's an investment. You're making the investment. You're making the sacrifice knowing that you're willing to win at all costs. And defensively, this team has not played better defensively all season than what we've seen during this last four games. Think it's just last four games. During this last month, where I believe their record, they have one regulation loss in this whole month. So you got to be encouraged with what you see. You got to be, you know, encouraged with the mindset that you're seeing this team play with, where literally they don't really, which is the mindset they should have. Who cares who's in the lineup? You know how to play the game of hockey. Go out and play the way a team should play the game.
Yeah, if this structure continues the way that they're playing right now, and you bring back your good players, your top defenseman, no disrespect to Mac Hollowell, who gets his first NHL point last night, or Mete, or whoever it is, you bring Morgan Rielly and TJ Brody back into this lineup, and they maintain that style of play that's been so effective of late, look out. Look out. This is a real team. This is
and
a real
just,
team.
Just
it's
look
been so
how
impressive
this has been, AK. When they went on this road trip, you're staring at New Jersey, who's won 13 games in a row. And by the way, since they lost that game, they started a new 3-game win streak.
No surprise there.
They're just steamrolling teams again. They went into Minnesota on an afternoon game on Thanksgiving, where Minnesota just scored their highest goals that they scored in a game the night before against the Winnipeg Jets. Beat them. They go into Pittsburgh, who's riding their own 5-game winning streak. They beat them. They go into Detroit, who's riding their own 5-game win streak, and they beat them. 4 games in a row on the road against teams that were on their own winning streaks. And the Leafs just steamrolled them.
Well, I mean, streaks are the name of the game right now. It's the Toronto Maple Leafs breaking streaks. They've started their own streak of their own. And Mitch Marner, the 17-game point streak is something that, I mean, you even look back to last season. That was the longest point streak in the NHL, was 17. Mm-hmm. McDavid did it, and Robert Thomas did it. And Auston Matthews, or I should say Mitch Marner, has the chance to break that missed record from last year and tie the Maple Leafs record on Wednesday night against San Jose. Well, welcome Todd Crocker to the show at 7:45. He actually called last night's Leaf and Red Wing game here on TSN 1050. And the veterinarian Frank Corrado will join us at 8:30. But coming up next, Stephen Goff, live from Qatar, covers soccer for the Washington Post. Lots to get to with him. He joins us next. So Canadian coach John Herdman created a media firestorm last week. I think that's a fair word to describe what went down when he said that Canada was going to F Croatia up following their loss to Belgium. We know how that played out. But for the American team, they play Iran today at 2 p.m. You could hear it on TSN 1050. They've got issues of their own. And a man who can explain this very delicate and somewhat confusing situation a lot better than I can or you can, Coco, is our next guest. It is Stephen Goff, who covers soccer for the Washington Post. And he joins us now live from Qatar. Good morning, Stephen. Well, good morning for us. Good afternoon for you. Thanks for doing this. How are you?
Doing well. Thanks for having me on.
It's our pleasure. So the Canadian controversy, as you can imagine, we talked about that extensively throughout the course of the week, into the weekend. Yeah. And the one that's going on with the United States team is very different. It's one that was created by the U.S. Soccer Federation, not by any players or coaches. Yep. Can you take us through exactly everything that's surrounding this team heading into a do-or-die situation today against Iran?
Yeah, I mean, the backdrop to this World Cup has been teams, some teams, showing their support for workers' rights here in Qatar, for LGBTQ individuals, in Qatar and the Middle East. So that's your starting point. The U.S. has been kind of subtle in their support. They put up rainbow elements in their media room, at their training grounds, and at their hotel. They're not allowed to do it in official FIFA spaces, but they can do it in those places. And the next step they took was in the build-up to this Iran game, they changed the emblem, the flag of Iran, removing some elements from it, the Islamic Republic part in the middle of the flag. They left the colors, and they did it in support of women's rights. Now, certainly women's rights and human rights have been at the forefront of the news in Iran recently, and so this was their action. But what it did was it certainly caused a stir in some circles of Iran and caught the attention of a lot of people here in Qatar. The Iranians wanted the U.S. kicked out of the World Cup. They asked FIFA to do that. FIFA has not commented on it, and they didn't take it seriously. But certainly it brought attention to things outside of soccer. And, it's almost like you're poking a bear here. The Iranians perhaps will use this as further motivation. Not that they didn't have motivation in the first place, because it's U.S.-Iran, and there's a place in the round of 16 at stake. The U.S. backtracked. They deleted those social media accounts of the altered flag, and they also said they wouldn't do it any further. Yesterday's press conferences, U.S. coach, U.S. captain were put in a difficult situation by their own federation, but they had to answer questions about this. And so that's where we are heading into the game. But this is what happens at a World Cup.
There's
all kinds of side issues. And as we saw with Canada and Croatia, it surfaces time and time again.
Yeah, and the Canadian-Croatia debate controversy, there's a lot less at stake with regards to that than there is with what's going on. Now, this is like a geopolitical, far-ranging, very significant issue that's going on there. And you say that the Iranian team could use that as motivation. When you say that, do you imply that they would be siding with the Iranian government or the Americans who are supporting the women and the LGBTQ stuff that you mentioned? Like, you think the players are against the support that the Americans gave them, I should say?
Yeah, it's a strange situation because, the Iranian players are representing the Republic of Iran, but they're not necessarily supporting the government.
Right,
of
they were
Iran.
Protesting themselves.
Yeah, exactly.
With the way
exactly.
they were.
Exactly, yeah. They didn't sing the anthem
right.
in the first game, and they almost half-heartedly did it in the second game. But certainly, this sport, this competition means so much to the people of Iran, no matter what side of the political spectrum you're on. And so, you know, I think they want to represent the people and by extension represent the country. And if this adds to their fire, if this fuels the fire a little bit more, then they will take advantage of it. Their coach, who's Portuguese, kind of put it in perspective. He said, look, if these players aren't already motivated, then nothing's going to, nothing else is going to help. So at the end of the day, the teams will take the field, they'll play 90 minutes, and we'll see what happens. There's already plenty at stake.
No doubt. And I think when you compare the two controversies, then I think that's very, very apt, Stephen, when you talk about like what it really means, the implications for the actual on-field performance. Yeah. Who knows? But, you know, Croatia said one thing. I guess we'll find out what happens after the Americans play Iran today. We're in conversation with Stephen Goff, Washington Post soccer insider.
So, Stephen, let's move to soccer. There's a game on the pitch today. It's, you know, a very meaningful one. Between, you know, last game of the group stage, the Americans are sitting there with two draws, one against Wales and one against, you know, what looked like to be the powerhouse of England. How would you assess where they are right now? Is this where you expected it to be? Have they underachieved considering they should have got a better result against the Welsh? And how do you like their chances of advancing?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to say. I mean, you know, the Wales game, you know, they squandered a late lead by conceding a penalty, settled for a draw. You know, most people thought they would get smacked around by England. They got a point out of it. So that was surprising in a different way. So, you know, the sense was that it would come down to the last game for them one way or another. You know, unfortunately for them, they can't settle for another draw. They've got to win the game. Iran could get through with a draw, but it's not guaranteed. They can't take any chances that, you know, somehow Wales defeats England in the other game being played simultaneously. So, you know, Iran still has much to play for to get a victory, but not just a draw. U.S., it's a very young team. Inexperienced on the international stage. Do they have the fortitude? Do they have the maturity to handle the pressure of this situation and score a goal? They got to score a goal to win a game. They only have one goal in this tournament. It was in the opener. They haven't allowed a goal in the run of play. The only goal they allowed was a penalty kick. They've been good defensively. But they, you know, they're going to have to score at least one, maybe two. Can they do it? They've struggled in the attack, not just in this World Cup, but in the build up to the World Cup as well.
Stephen, of course, we've been talking a ton about the Canadian team for many months, if not years, and there was a lot of hype leading into the tournament. That hype was amplified following the Canadian team's performance against Belgium. While in a loss, they outplayed the Belgian team, no doubt. And then Sunday morning happened where Canada scores 2 minutes in and Croatia takes it to them from then on out. What was the reaction to that performance from Canada in Qatar and based on the people you were speaking with and, of course, your own as well?
Yeah, I mean, I actually went to that Canada game and it was a lot of fun to see all that red in the stadium representing Canada. I mean, this is a special time for Canadian soccer, Canadian sports, and Canada in general to be on this world stage after missing the World Cup for so many years. Fantastic start, first goal in World Cup history. Things look good. It was an open game. It favored Canada. They did not get that second goal. And, you know, Croatia is a finalist from 2018. They're so experienced. They have so many big-name players in Europe. And they were finding space in the back against Canada. Giving up that go-ahead goal before halftime really hurt Canada. If it's tied or if they're winning, it's a different story. And then the second half, I think Croatia knew what they were doing. It was tough from Canada from the start. They're playing two huge teams, you know, Belgium and Croatia. You know, you're hoping for the best. They certainly could have won that opener. Now they're out, which is too bad. But they made strides in this sport. over the last year, and I think it's a lot of good things to come from Canadian soccer heading into international competitions, including the next World Cup.
Yeah, we're looking forward to that. So thank you so much for doing this for us, Stephen. Four games today: Netherlands, Qatar, Ecuador, Senegal. Those games at 10 a.m., Iran versus the United States, and Wales versus England at 2. Appreciate your time. Thanks for doing this.
My pleasure. Anytime.
Thank you. That is Stephen Goff from the Washington Post. We didn't talk about Ronaldo's fake goal yesterday. Did you see that? Celebrating like he scored the most magnificent goal in World Cup history. And
it's debatable.
He didn't touch it.
I mean, there's an argument for both ways. Argument he did touch an argument he didn't
touch. Okay, let's just say, like, I guess you could make an argument both ways, but it wasn't definitive. Like, you know, 100%. In the NHL, when you have a deflection in front, right, there's a puck that comes in from the point, you're not, oh, is that deflected? And sometimes, you know, the forward would point to the defenseman. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just like, no, that was yours. Ronaldo was like, no, that's my goal.
Because even
guy
after,
was so horny for
after,
the goal.
Even after the celebration in the corner, he was talking to one of his teammates, and it looked like they were talking about who scored the goal. He was taking ownership. He's like, no, I touched it.
Bruno Fernandez.
He's
it's
like,
mine.
Don't even think about it, dude. This is me. This is my team. This is my goal. Don't even think about it. And then clearly FIFA overturned it and gave it to him.
Well, and that's it, right? Because, you know, there's reviews. Like, there's cameras there, Ronaldo. You can tell who actually deflected. It's not the 1970s where there's no instant replay. So that's kind of a tough look on Ronaldo. Yeah. I mean, he just really wanted to be credited with the goal.
And to think, too, they subbed him out of the game and they got a penalty kick. Early into extra time, and that would be Ronaldo's kick, right? And Bruno Fernandes ends up being the guy that kicks it as well too. And Portugal looked impressive yesterday, man. They looked really, really good. They dictated most of that game, but I know it was only a 1-0 game, but if you watch that Brazil-Switzerland game, I don't know how anybody stops Brazil.
They're nasty, and they don't allow anything. They haven't allowed a shot on goal.
In two straight games.
In two straight games. That hasn't happened since, like, 1966 or something. Like,
their ball possession and their pace that they play with, that goal they scored yesterday was literally one touch, two touch into the back of the net. And they even had a goal call back on them, too. I don't... Based on all the teams that I've watched... They hands down look like the most impressive team. I don't know how anybody stops Brazil.
Yep, they're a powerhouse.
And they played without Neymar yesterday.
They're a powerhouse, and we'll see what his status is going for. Yeah. He's got the ankle. We'll tell you what happened last night in the world of sports. The First Up scoreboard coming up. We'll talk to Todd Crocker, who called the Leafs and the Detroit Red Wings last night. We'll fill you in on the Raptors. An extremely impressive defensive performance against the Cleveland Cavaliers. All that coming up on First Up. This is the First Up scoreboard. We already broke down the Maple Leafs 4-2 win over the Detroit Red Wings. How about the Toronto Raptors? A very, very sound defensive effort against a potent Cleveland Cavaliers team. The Raptors win 100-88. Pascal Siakam in his return from that groin injury, Coco. He was amazing in the first half. OG Anunoby. And I'm not one for hyperbole, for an overreaction, but man, was he incredible once again. Defensively and offensively, his game was solid, too.
Led the team in scoring.
Like, it's unbelievable the way he performs. And Donovan Mitchell had 8 points. Donovan Mitchell averages 30 a game, and the Raptors held him to 8. That following a showing against Luka Doncic, where Doncic took 15 shots. Yeah. Like, that doesn't happen.
He's the eraser. He's the Kawhi Leonard eraser is what he is.
And if you remember back in the day, a guy named Ruben Patterson for the Portland Trailblazers called himself the Kobe Stopper. That was his nickname, and then Kobe lit him up, obviously. But Ruben Patterson was a good defender. I think he did some bad things later in his NBA career. I can't really remember. But OG Anunoby, he just stops everybody these days.
And look, it was a welcome sight in with the Raptors yesterday, the return of Siakam and Scottie Barnes. And man, did they put up a heck of a performance both defensively. You know, pretty quiet night offensively, but at the end of the day, they found a way to get a big win.
Not a lot of defense in Buffalo, New York last night, where the Lightning beat the Sabres 6-5 in overtime. That game was wild down the stretch. You saw I mean, I think Brayden Point had two goals. Steven Stamkos scored with about 5 minutes left. Brandon Hagel scored with 2 minutes left to force the game into overtime. And then, of course, Steven Stamkos finished it off.
But Tage Thompson with the highlight reel goal.
And that's where I wanted to go with that. I mean, Tage Thompson, he's a stud. He had 38 goals last year. It's not like he's coming out of nowhere. That goal, this guy's like 6'7".
Yeah.
He's dangling around the Tampa Bay Lightning defense and around Brian Elliott, their goaltender, last night. Shout out to Tage Thompson. He was outstanding. And so was Connor McDavid, as you'd expect for the Edmonton Oilers. They beat the Florida Panthers 4-3 last night. And McDavid's breakaway goal was just...
Went right around. Into that game. It was an offensive zone faceoff for Edmonton. They're down by one goal with 9 seconds left. They win the faceoff. They win it back to the point. Evan Bouchard blasts it in from the point to tie the game at 3. And then obviously McDavid and Draisaitl go to work in overtime with Draisaitl finishing the deal there. And in the other game too, the Devils and the Rangers. My Devils, because I picked them in our dump and chase pick, they won their 10th straight road game. This team just had their 13-game winning streak snapped by the Maple Leafs, and they just reeled off 3 in a row in New York against the Rangers. Rangers, man, they are reeling. Talk about Igor Shesterkin.
Do we have that clip, Chrissy, where Shesterkin...
Wow.
Okay. Yeah, that was a very harsh condemnation on his own play. Basically saying... He's playing like a variation of his name.
Right.
Change the E to an I, yes. And you know exactly poop. Where I'm going.
Poop.
Yeah, he's not playing well.
Alternate word for poop.
Yes. And by the way, back to that Edmonton-Calgary game. Edmonton versus Florida game. It sets the stage tonight for Matthew Tkachuk.
Returning to Calgary.
I am very curious to see the reaction he gets. It's not going to be a warm one.
I don't know.
I can tell
Why
you that. Well, he wanted out.
Yeah, okay, but he wanted out, but at least he wanted out and he gave the team a chance to trade for him. Like, they didn't leave like Goudreau did.
Not at all, but the Calgary faithful are going to feel slighted at least a little bit, too. Yeah. I don't think Matthew Tkachuk's getting a standing ovation tonight.
He's getting a tribute video for sure.
That's an interesting one. I think they might. Well, the Flames organization might get him that, but yeah. I don't know how the fans will react.
I think they'll react respectively and give him what he deserves, because can't blame the guy. I mean,
well, they got Huberto back for him, so Huberto, I mean, it's not like they.
By the way, man, that Uyghur deal, oof, that looks bad right now. So does that Huberto deal.
Well, Huberto's been like they've been trying to figure out a different spot for him, seemingly night after night.
The guy making $10.5 million playing on the third line.
Well, and that was always the question I had. Where Jonathan Huberto was awesome in Florida, racked up a ton of points. Played so well for so long, but he had never actually stepped foot in the city before signing that massive contract. I just thought that was kind of weird.
I don't understand. You make a move like that, and I know you're making the investment because you're trading one of your core pieces, and you're bringing in a core piece. You don't want to risk losing him, but you couldn't wait a month into the season to see how this whole thing plays out. I just think that some teams jump the gun sometimes because they're worried about protecting their asset instead of just wondering if the asset they have is the right one.
I think that's exactly it.
Uyghur's the same thing.
And listen, if it has not worked out. Still could work out a lot of seasons ago.
You think if Uyghur would have played a month in this season, he would have gotten an 8-year deal times 6?
No.
And good on them. Look, the players use the leverage in their power to get to secure their long-term financial security, and good on them for doing it.
We'll fill you in on what happened on Monday Night Football on the other side. Not exactly the most inspiring game offensively for the Steelers and the Indianapolis Colts, a team that we love ripping on. And Matt Ryan had 0 completions halfway through the second quarter yesterday. So
I feel bad for the Colts, man, when they got to play Matt. I'm watching that game yesterday.
See, like, that's how bad it is.
Saturday wants his team to win so bad, but like Matt Ryan is literally stopping this team from winning because he's worst. I don't know who's better, him or Russell Wilson right now.
Oh, I mean, I think Sam Ellinger's worse than both of them, so I can tell you that. So we'll get to that. We'll also fill you in on the latest with Tiger Woods. Was expected to make his return this coming weekend, but...
Are you buying into my theory now?
I don't even know what your theory is, but save it.
Okay.
We'll hear it to begin hour 2 next.